shit, I am back. It is the Slasher Sanitarium. Here we are once again. I would like to start this episode off by apologizing for not posting an episode the past couple of weeks. I have been dealing with numerous different illnesses, starting off with just a regular cold and progressively getting worse and worse and worse until I died. But I am back and I am bringing you Final Destination 5. But you know what? Everyone knows that the fifth installment of a series is always the best. So, let's jump right into it. The opening credits try to jump scare me with some new metal music. And fucking hell, a bunch of skulls just went flying through the screen. I think I could make a better intro myself using like Adobe. The fuck have I gotten myself into, man? Now a bunch of shit's just flying at the screen. I assume that this means this movie is in 3D, which is so fucking great. All right, well, let's do this. Let's go. What? All right, come on. Almost 4 fucking solid minutes of terrible credits. Let's fucking go here. All right, let's hope this movie can overcome those terrible opening credits. We start with a team-building retreat for a company. Discount Dave Franco and Discount Generic Actor, I guess, are talking when a blonde chick rolls up blasting some 90s alt-rock. So that's something that's going on. She tells the main character that she is not coming to his brother's wedding, and she's breaking up with him. At their work. Where they apparently work together. In the parking lot of where they work together. Some chick rolls up to Discount Dave Franco, and apparently everyone who works here is banging each other. So, great. There's some HR violations for you there. A van rolls up and some chick wearing slutty clothes hops out, and there's a British dude who tells her she almost forgot her glasses. She gets handed them, and we see that her breasts are very clearly visible here. Then she proceeds to take off her shirt in the parking lot of work. She's not wearing just like a bra. She's wearing a bra with like strappy shit on it to try to really accentuate the fact that this is all she has to offer the world. So yeah, taking a shirt off in the parking lot of your work, another clear HR violation right off the bat. Some nerdy dude tries to hit on main character's ex-girlfriend minutes after she breaks up with main character. So that was nice. David Koechner rolls up, and since David Koechner is in this movie, you can tell it's going to be an Academy Award-winning movie. He is Prick Boss. And so far, everyone is a generic character. We have Slutty Slut, boring main character guy, boring main character's girlfriend, slightly more attractive friend, and slightly more attractive friend's girlfriend, and asshole boss. Great. So main guy goes into the factory to get some dude, and the factory guy calls a black dude retarded. It's another clear HR violation. It does seem a little dumb to pull a dude for a company retreat a few weeks after he starts, when he's supposed to be kind of like building with his own people and having none of the people in the factory actually go on to retreat with you. We drop a reference that the main character wants to go to Paris because, you know, references to the first movie. He then makes Final Destination face as the bus stares, say, watch your step. Now, we've had some issues in these past couple of movies with Final Destination face, with things that weren't really omens. This one really is not. Every fucking bus has the same goddamn thing on it. Watch your step. Most fucking steps have a little watch your step thing. This is like driving around and getting freaked out when you see a dead end sign, okay? It's not a fucking omen. It's a part of everyday life. Anyways, we see a caution sign for the bridge getting worked on, and part of the bridge is missing, so obviously that means that the bridge is going to collapse. Apparently, Discount Dave Franco's girlfriend is a gymnast. Not sure why that matters at this point, but Dorky Moron takes a phone call and goes into the bathroom. And then main character sees a logging truck, because the second movie. So, see what they're going to keep doing. We're going to keep referencing better movies in the franchise to not make this movie seem so fucking terrible. Sam, who is apparently the main character's name, then starts to freak out over every fucking thing around him. Yeah. Construction worker's water jug then commits suicide off the bridge. And we see that Shadow Monster has returned to this movie, and he scares Sam enough that he manages to cut his finger on the chair in front of him. We hear the song Dust in the Wind on the radio, because every one of these movies needs a fucking song that can vaguely reference death. And we see a montage of the construction guys being fucking terrible at their jobs. Sam asks Peter, who is Disconte Franco, if he heard a noise. They're on a busy bus, or a bus on a busy street, a busy bridge that's getting worked on. You're going to have to come up a bit more specific on what noise you think you might have heard. The construction guys then slam into the bridge with a jack, and the bridge acts like it's made of ice and starts to crack and break apart. That's not how bridges work. So then, so everything starts going fucking crazy. They run off the bus, and Candace jumps to try to jump over a hole and falls the fuck off. She proceeds to fall down towards the water and lands right on the mast of a ship. And then her guts fly into the air because of reasons. So instantly, we're just like, fuck physics with this. We're just going to have the most completely fucking ridiculous shit that we can have, like a chick falling off a bridge, and it's not enough for her to just, like, break her neck on the water. We're going to have her then get impaled by the mast of a fucking ship that just happens to be passing by. Sam breaks out some terrible acting as Douchebag exits the bathroom to see the entire bridge is gone. The bus then falls into the sea, and we watch Douchebag hit the water. Whore then gets knocked down and loses her glasses, which she didn't even remember to grab before leaving her car before. So if she was really that bad at seeing, why the fuck did she roll up without her glasses on to begin with? And why is it now such a big issue that she loses her glasses here? The bridge continues to collapse as Sam sends his girlfriend across the bridge. She walks across the beam and manages to make it across. And since Whore really can't see, Sam goes to get her. Olivia then goes on the same beam as the ex-girlfriend. Olivia is the aforementioned whore. She then falls to her death. Maybe. No, wait. No, never mind. She's still alive. It's okay. It's okay. She's fine. She's in the water. She's fine. Oh, no, wait. A fucking car fell on her. Because that's a thing that could happen. Mind you, she sat there watching this fucking car fall down. You couldn't have swam away? Black Guy gets hit with a flying cable as David Koechner hangs onto the side of the bridge. Then he gets hit with boiling hot tar and proceeds to slide off the side of the bridge and die. Peter and Sam jump across and grab onto the railing that is dangling over the open water now. The bridge then super collapses into the water. A truck starts to fall back and has a bunch of rebar on it. So, of course, this rebar falls and impales Peter, and he proceeds to fall to his doom. The truck then drops a sheet of metal that slices Sam clean in half. We cut back to regular time, and he proceeds to tell everyone that the plane is going to blow up if they don't get off the roller coaster right now. Sam and his terrible ex-girlfriend get off the bus, and Peter follows. Then his girlfriend follows. Then Erica and the black guy get off, with David Koechner and Douchebag also getting off, even though Douchebag should still be in the bathroom and on the phone, and should not have heard anything what was going on here. So the bridge starts to collapse as they're standing there, and thankfully all the people that we just met are able to get off the bridge. Sam and Molly then proceed to cuddle like they didn't just break up, like an hour ago. We cut over to Black Detective Courtney B. Vance, and he thinks that Sam blew up the bridge. Also, yes, I watched this whole movie. I also remembered the first time I watched this whole movie. So, giant spoiler here. The entire point of this movie is that it takes place before every other movie in the series. Because at this point, they're like, all right, we've made four fucking movies. What do we have to do? Well, we could either set Final Destination in Western times, where a guy has a vision that everyone in the town is going to die from a rattlesnake infestation and proceeds to get everybody off of the farm in time. Or we do a prequel. But of course, because the first movie acted as if nobody has ever had a vision and saved a bunch of people, and those people then subsequently died, it makes it very difficult to create a prequel where you're going to do the exact same thing and just pretend that the fact that none of the other four movies mention a dude who helped a bunch of people get off of a collapsing bridge, nor did they mention a collapsing bridge because, of course, this all takes place very close to where the rest of the movies take place. We're just going to pretend that that stuff didn't happen. Don't worry, nobody watched those movies anyways. So, yeah. Anyways, so now, with that in mind, this, the fact that this movie, I realize I just ruined this movie for you, but don't worry, because it doesn't make any fucking sense, and you don't have to watch this movie anyway, because it's a steaming pile of shit. Fucking hell. So yeah, first movie, dude has a vision, saves everybody. Nobody mentions the fact that, hey, the same shit happened a couple of weeks ago with this dude who helped all these people get off of a bridge that collapsed. You remember that bridge that collapsed, right? Isn't it weird that none of us are talking about that? All right. So the next three sequels all reference Alex, not Sam, by the way. Just to remind you. All right. So Sam, saving a bunch of people via vision, near the town that Alex saves a bunch of people. Makes some fucking sense. But that's okay. We're just going to fucking forget it. All right. Anyways, montage of detective guy thinking that the dude is a terrorist a year before September 11th happened. Also, this movie has twice the budget of the original movie, yet looks fucking terrible by comparison. Oh look, now we get a memorial scene. It's like they just did find a replace on the original script. Everyone is addicted to the guy who saved their lives, stop if you've heard this before, and Keckner says the name of douchebag who is actually still alive during the memorial of people who died. And Candyman shows up. He tells Sam they need to be careful, but this has never happened before, so why would he worry about Sam saving a bunch of people? We cut to Sam working in a kitchen, because apparently everybody in this thing has a separate job. This is far more set up than is necessary for this, because we have an entire scene where Sam has a dish that gets sent back, and foreign chef says it's actually good, and none of that really fucking mattered. But Sam arrives at Molly's house. Don't know what the point of the last scene was, but Molly's tea kettle goes off. Which I have to yet again ask, why a woman in her mid-20s, in the year 2000, is using a tea kettle. The lights start to flicker, and Sam uses the bridge disaster to try to win Molly back. Which is kind of a dick move, but she seems down for it. Molly was trying to break up Sam because he has an offer to become a chef in Paris. And instead of just saying, hey, I don't want to be the twat that holds you back from your dream of going to Paris, so I'm going to break up with you. She instead is just like, it's not working out. I'm going to break up with you at work. We cut to gymnast Barbie and Peter. She's got one final practice before a big meet, or whatever the fuck a gymnastics event is called. All right. Okay, writers, let's see how we can defy physics for this death. So Candace says it's apparently hot because the AC is not working, and the woman she tells us to says, well, they're working on it, they'll get it up soon. And then we watch a guy walk over, flip a switch, and the AC restarts. So not sure what they were doing to make it seem like they've been working on this for hours, but yeah, okay. Another dude turns on a fan as Candace warms up, which again, if it's that hot in that place, why wasn't that fan on as well to begin with? She plays with rubber bands in her hands and one of them snaps. Being as these rubber bands are clearly the world's strongest and that she's never had one of these break before, she is incredibly shocked when one of them snaps. This is like the worst fucking omen ever that a rubber band that you constantly play with on your hands has broken. Water is dripping on a frayed cord and the fan is having a seizure which drops a screw right onto the balance beam. Sunny side up. Candace then does a bunch of steps around the screw to build tension. Candace then gets off the beam. She's fine. Almost gets shocked by the water, but she drops a towel right onto it. It's Candace's turn on the parallel bars. And Peter keeps yelling at her, which is probably something you shouldn't do to somebody who needs like a bunch of concentration to be like, yeah, Candace, keep doing it. Yeah, you're doing awesome. There's another chick on the balance beam now, so apparently this one's going to be the one that hurts herself. And we see that the parallel bars are not really well put together. So, you know, this is a fucking great place. AC doesn't work. Fucking fans in the place are like chattering. Balance beams sound like they, you know, were put together in the 60s. So the chick steps on a screw, which then causes her to hit the chalk pole, which blows into the fan and then blinds Candace. And Candace, instead of just being like, fuck it, I'll stick the landing anyways, flips off the bar and lands, shattering her leg and folding her clean in half, scorpion style. She's dead. She shouldn't be, based on that fall, because she hit a bunch of mats. At worst, she should probably have, like, twisted her ankle or something like that, and definitely shouldn't have snapped her spine in half. But, you know, she looks like she was hit by a truck. So apparently that's something that can happen. Sam arrives at the gym to find Peter completely dry-eyed. Sam sees Candyman off at the distance, but when he looks back, he's gone. Probably didn't say his name enough times. The next day, Sam arrives at work, and the company has lost 92% of its workforce, but hey, let's have these other 7 people come into work today. Eric proceeds to be a cunt right in earshot of Peter. She blames Candace for her own death. Keckner is distraught that he has to do other people's jobs, because, you know, they're dead employees, while Douchebag starts to steal from his dead co-workers. So, alright, here's the thing. The other movies have done a really good job. Well, not all of the movies, but the majority of the earlier movies have done a really good job of making you care about the characters and making you, I mean, generally not want to see them die, want to see them somehow succeed, but you still kind of go into it knowing, yeah, they're probably going to die. This movie, the writers were like, look, I feel bad about killing people, so I'm going to make you dislike every single person in this movie so you actively wish for their deaths. The only person that so far we've seen as a redeemable person that we didn't want to see die is Candace, and she was kind of annoying anyways, so I didn't care that much. So you've got Candace, who Erica just blamed for being like she makes her seem like she's like a fucking funny car driver, where she's like, you know, those gymnasts, they do all this crazy shit. Erica is super cunt and apparently kind of slutty, so we should definitely make sure that she dies. Keckner is a piece of shit, so we definitely want to see him die. Douchebag is stealing from dead coworkers, so we definitely want to see him die. Peter can't seem to cry on command, and he's also going to do some pretty bad shit later where you want him to die. The main character is a fucking solid chunk of wood, and I don't care about him. His girlfriend is a bitch who doesn't know how to fucking talk to anybody and just explain that she doesn't want to hold people back. So you should definitely want to see it. So everybody, the guy's just like, I don't want to kill all these people because I like them, so I got to make them unlikable. So that proceeds to make it so that the entire movie has a bunch of people that you're just like, I don't fucking care. This movie should be like 20 minutes and they should all just fucking die. Anyways, Douchebag finds a gift certificate to a Chinese massage parlor as Black Dude comes up with beer. Oh yeah, Black Dude. I forgot about that dude. So Nathan, the Black Dude, he's going to do something later as well that is kind of like, all right, I guess it's okay that he might die as well. So Nathan comes up with like a 6-pack of beer and he says he stole from Roy's truck. Roy is the guy that called him a retard before. And then Peter also brings out a bottle of booze. So even more HR violations, but everyone in HR is dead. So I guess it's okay. Douchebag arrives at the happy ending parlor and is on the phone with a woman, but then hangs up with her because he sees a chick with tits behind the counter. And he apparently instantly thinks he can fuck this chick. This guy, like, is in just as bad a shape as I am. And they try to make it seem like he's like this big ladies man because he's been talking on the phone with like a bunch of different random chicks at this whole point in time. But he's like mid-management of a factory, so he's not even rich. So he then proceeds to remind everyone that he's an asshole and you should hope that he dies by asking for a happy ending. And then he makes a racist joke while he's hitting on another Asian chick. He walks in there and he sees a Buddha statue, which he calls fat, which is essentially the pot calling the kettle fat. A super old lady then is proceeding to give him a massage instead to do the whole like fucking Bugs Bunny switcheroo on him. And she starts to fuck him up, but it's, you know, kind of still okay. And because he's an asshole, we're supposed to be happy with the fact that this woman is like hurting him, but I don't fucking care. So Erica then takes off from the work, but proceeds to knock over a picture, which cracks around her eye, so I'm sure she's going to get cut in half or some shit. Peter is sad about Candace, who gives a shit. Peter throws his glass against the wall. Man, where's HR? Oh, that's right. They're dead. Never mind. Character calls Cordy B. Vance. Peter freaked out about something. We cut over and CSI dude says that he could try 100 times and never recreate what happened. That's because it defies physics. Leave it to the fifth movie to finally be like, dude, these are kind of fucked up. Like, this shit can't really happen in real life. We're just, like, pretending that this stuff can happen. But pointing out how stupid it is doesn't make it any more better than the fact that you're going to kill all these people in completely unrealistic ways. So we cut back and it's revealed that the Chinese chick can, of course, understand, but she's just pretending she doesn't understand. Another racist joke, and we cut to Fat Shit with a bunch of acupuncture needles in him. She tells him to sleep for 30 minutes. Is that part of acupuncture? I don't think it was. I don't think that you're supposed to fall asleep with all those things in there, are you? I don't know. I don't care enough to look at them. Then a fire starts, and Fat Shit falls off the table, and it knocks over a comically large tub of isopropyl alcohol. We see that he is now bleeding from each of the acupuncture needles that got drilled into him when he fell, and he slowly pulls one out, and he makes some incredibly terrible fucking noises. His phone starts to buzz, which knocks over a candle. He comically gasps, like, and the fire, even though it's just a fire, somehow throws him back against the wall. It's like there was supposed to be an explosion, but they didn't have the budget for it. Even though this movie cost $40 million to make, I don't know how. But yeah, so he hits against the wall, he falls on the floor, and then the Buddha statue that he called fat before falls off the wall, and apparently it weighs 300 pounds because it completely explodes his fucking head. Which is fucking terrible. Complete with terrible, like, gush noise as it hits. It's not even entertaining at this point, man. Like, it's nothing about that, like, was remotely, like, entertaining in the way this guy died. It was literally just like misdirection, and his fucking head gets exploded. They did this in the last fucking movie with the dude at the fucking weight bench where his head just fucking gets exploded. Like, it just doesn't make any fucking sense. Sam and Molly talk about some dumb shit, and Peter alerts them that dumb shit is dead, and Candyman is there. At this point, the police should probably be looking into Candyman, because he's at every crime scene. Oh, wait, he's the coroner. Never mind. He's okay to be there. So Candyman says that he has seen this before. No, he hasn't. No, because this takes place before any of the other movies, so he definitely has not seen this before, because nobody has ever mentioned at all in that first movie or any of the other subsequent movies that anything happened before Alex had a vision and saved all those people off the plane. But of course, since it's Candyman, he claims that the lucky ones are getting picked off, but Alex hasn't saved his friends yet, so whatever. So Candyman has never seen anything like this before. Peter thinks Candyman just told him to kill somebody, and they just roll with that. And of course, it's because it's Candyman, he's just like, fuck it. You white people can go ahead and kill whoever the fuck you want. It gives me more business. But yeah, that's what they bank on. They're just like, oh, so we can just steal other people's lives, apparently. Sam then informs Molly that she wasn't meant to die. And Peter is pissed off that Sam saved Molly in a dream. Because, nothing at this point has proven that this is at all real. This could just be a really bad coincidence and everything like that. And of course, nobody saw what happened, so, to be like, I'm pissed because you got saved in the vision. You originally survived and all the rest were supposed to die. Well, yeah, man, some people are going to survive. Nathan doesn't believe Sam's shit, which is good. And we cut over to see that Erica is getting LASIK. Boy. Erica says that she can't move her head while moving her head, as her head gets put into a clamp. She's seen holding a teddy bear because she's a wimp. And the doctor opens her eyes with one of those little metal thingies, and good God, he can just see right down her top. They didn't pay this actress enough, by the way, to have that fucking thing in her eye for the number of takes that this had to have been. Then she proceeds to tear the eye off the teddy bear because, look, it's funny, she's going to lose her eye, and now the teddy bear lost his. The director says Daddy gave him an incomplete file and proceeds to fuck off. what kind of asshole leaves when his patient is, one, obviously not doing well, and two, completely at the mercy of the machine that's over her fucking head. We see that the machine starts to heat up and it goes over five, I don't know, mega units, something. I didn't catch what it was supposed to not go over. It's not one of those ones, it does do not exceed this level, and it's instantly like, it's exceeding that level, it's going to blow. Erica, instead of, opening up the headrest and letting herself go, because she has full fucking movement of everything except for her fucking head, proceeds to then just try to grab the controls. But then, of course, it falls on the ground and proceeds to start blasting her in the eye with a fucking laser. Boy, she manages to get herself up after, burning her hand and burning her fucking eyeball out and shit like that. Finally gets up, and then her friends, I can't even call them fucking friends, but our main characters bust in. She then trips on the teddy bear eye and falls out a window, falls down to her death, which causes her eye to pop out of her face. Fuck you. Fucking fuck you. Alright, this movie can suck my fucking dick. Why the fuck did her eyeball pop out? That's not something that can happen. You already blasted her other eye, which was fine. And, mind you, last movie already had somebody lose a fucking eye after making a bunch of jokes about it. The fucking second movie had a dude take a ladder through the fucking eyeball. What is this? This fucking movie franchise's obsession with blasting people's eyeballs out. And why the fuck does the eyeball not only fucking pop out, but then a truck, which just watched a fucking person fall to their death, casually just drives over it? Fuck you. Black Detective becomes the second person that calls out how impossible these deaths are to actually happen. And we just don't follow up on it. Molly and Sam are apparently back banging with each other because they are in the same house. Sam figures out that Death's design is normal in this movie because this movie, of course, takes place before the rest of them. And he remembers that Nathan is next. Nathan is looking through some time cards, and one of them just says, fuck you, across it. Now, if this is Roy's time card, he's not getting paid this week. Also, HR. Roy gets into a shoving match with Nathan, and Nathan shoves him back as a hook falls through the floor, like the catwalk, so that was really well put together. And then Roy grabs onto it, slides down, and the hook jabs him through the bottom of the chin, out to the top of his head, and he's dead. And now Nathan believes that he is safe because he just killed a dude. Peter busts into Keckner's office and says that nobody is safe, everybody will die. And it sure sounds like he just threatened this motherfucker. Now, typically in movies like this, I try to give props where props is due. I guess it's okay that even though it's Sam that saved everybody, Peter is kind of the one that they put a lot more suspicion on, but I still don't fucking care. So Peter straight up asks if Nathan killed Roy, and Nathan admits that he killed Roy. So, again, we're just going with this. Candyman didn't actually tell them, if you kill somebody, you'll get their life. They just, extrapolated that from him being, something about taking people's lives or whatever like that. So, there's no telling that they say it, but, Death's like, I'll play along. Because as soon as David Koechner walks up, a wrench gets caught into a machine, which should not be running, by the way, because we just had a death here. The wrench then flies at Dennis and takes out his eyes, because this movie loves taking people's eyes out, I guess. So he's dead, which, mercifully, thank you, get rid of David Koechner. More inane bullshit between Molly and Sam. Who gives a shit? Neither of these people are likable. I hate them both. Is this fucking movie over yet? We drop a 180 reference, because movies and shit, and there is no reason why Sam should be worried. He knows that Peter has to eat it before him. So why is he freaking out so much? He's walking around the restaurant like everything's going to fucking kill him. But again, he knows someone else has got to die before me. He gets his meat caught in a rolly thing and unplugs the wrong machine for a nice little jump scare. This one I actually enjoyed. It's kind of funny. Sam takes Foreign Chef up on his offer for an apprenticeship. And then he proceeds to tell Molly and Molly's all excited. So if taking Molly with him to Paris was an option from the start, why did she break up with him? Why was there ever a fight about this? Peter arrives at the restaurant. It's a total cockblock move, by the way, Peter. Peter downs some wine as the shadow monster tries to blow out some candles. Peter was walking around and saw a bunch of different people that he could possibly kill, but he pussed out. Because he couldn't kill innocent people. But what he can do is kill somebody who deserves to die, who doesn't deserve to live, which is Molly. He pulls out a gun and he tries to shoot her. But Sam knocks the table into him. You would think that Peter would just kill Sam, but he doesn't. He's just like, you know, because I guess that wouldn't really give him any more life, but at least he'd be like, I fucking kill you. Sure. He shoots a tank of air, I guess, and then he proceeds to knock Sam out, and then he turns on the grill and fryers. Molly grabs a knife as Black Cop gets perforated by Peter. These fucking people make a lot of assumptions about how this works, because Peter's just like, I get his life now. But Molly's seen too much. So Peter is going to kill Molly, but he gets attacked by Sam, and the gun gets knocked into the stove, and Peter tries to fry Sam's face in oil. Peter then kicks the hell out of him, but Molly returns to stop him. Peter chucks Molly into the ground, grabs a knife, and Sam stabs Peter through the chest with a giant skewer. So I guess they're both okay now. And then, of course, they're just like, so then I guess that means that I get Black Cop's life then? Is that how this is working? Like, can we double stack? Can I just, like, start killing people and live forever? Do these stack? Or is it just, like, a cumulative thing? I don't know. I don't know the rules. This movie doesn't know the rules. But, of course, to emphasize that I guess he's right, Death's like, sure, I'll make the gun go off and miss both of you. All right. I appear to be missing part of my notes. All right, so I'm missing a big chunk of my notes, but you know what? It's fine. Whatever. Doesn't fucking matter. So we go to, I think it was two months later, I think is what it is. And we see that, you know, the two people that survived this whole thing, Sam and Molly, are boarding a plane. But wait, because as soon as they board the plane, we then see that Alex and his friends get off of the plane. Oh shit, son, they're on the plane that's gonna blow up. Because, you know, that's how these things work. So, this begs the question, was the black guy gonna be on the plane? Was he going to Paris for some reason? Because, like, these people are gonna die now. And, you know, say what you will about Molly, she didn't really have anything to do about this thing. But I thought that this meant that, you know, Sam was supposed to get the life expectancy of the detective, but I guess not. Anyways, he hears dust in the wind on his headphones as the plane starts to shake. And the plane explodes. Which is going to, of course, kill Sam, Molly, and Todd's brother. So this is another one of those things, too, where they didn't even bother to recreate the plane explosion because in the first one, the whole side of the plane rips out and we see like an entire section of seats fly out. And then one person flies out of the seat and another person's there. And this one, the side bursts out and it's just Molly that flies out. And of course, because we can't just have her like fly out the window or fly out the side of the thing, we have to have her fly out and then get sliced in half by the wing of the plane, which I don't think that would happen because I don't think that I've been on a plane and those things are actually pretty rounded, so I'm pretty sure it would just probably maybe break her back, but it would still keep her intact. She's just not going to get sliced in half. So yeah, the plane blows up, it fries Sam's face off, and we cut to Nathan at Roy's wake, and apparently Roy drove the race car that kills a bunch of people in the last movie, which also doesn't make any sense because he's dead. So somebody else is apparently driving his car after his death. And, you know, I guess that those people are going to die too. So that fucking car is kind of cursed. Whatever. But of course, they drop it that, oh, Roy had an aneurysm and he was going to die like any day now. And this leads up to Nathan looking up as the tires of the plane crash through the roof and explode Nathan, and his arm comes flying at the screen because fuck it. Nobody's watching this shit anyways. So everyone dies. And the credits are all the deaths from every Final Destination movie. And I'm finally done with this shit. Thank fucking Christ. Because this shit was god-awful. Again, like the first movie, enjoy the second movie. Third movie, not so much. Fourth movie was terrible. This was fucking grueling to watch. And the deaths weren't even that fucking good. Which, you know, I guess is the whole point of it, but... So, stay tuned, and we'll see what other fucking terrible franchise that I can start reviewing next, or whatever movie is that for that instant anyways, too. But I am finally feeling better, and I will be back to getting out episodes once a week. So, stay creepy. We got guns, mama, mama's better.